Welcome to CX Diaries. CX Diaries from the Customer Experience Foundation is our podcast where we talk to the people at the sharp end of CX and contact centers, the movers and the shakers, the innovators, the disruptors, and the people delivering in the real world who share their personal stories, their journey through our industry. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Vinay Palmer. Vinay is a Chief Customer Officer with over 30 years of CX leadership experience, and deeply committed to driving improvements across the customer journey that help organizations create experiences leading to business growth and customer loyalty. Throughout his career, he has led cultural change, encourages collaboration, and challenges the status quo to deliver exceptional customer experiences. He also has a proven track record of using data and insight to identify root cause and implementing digital technology to drive innovation and efficiency, while operating strategically and tactically to deliver the results that improve customer satisfaction, advocacy, revenue growth, and brand reputation. Vinay, welcome. Pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Keith.
You've just ended your time recently at National Express. You were there 8 years.
You also had a
number of roles there. So tell us about your career through National Express and some of the different roles you had.
As all great stories start, it was a bit of an accident, really. I was a freelance consultant for about 10 years before I ended up at National Express. I spoke at their coach division conference in 2015 and did a session on customer experience. And out of the back of that, I ended up taking on what should have been an interim role. Right. And then it got extended. And then before I knew it, I was around the board table as part of the leadership team and coach. Leading customer experience, which is at the time very much focused on contact center and customer service. But actually the journey that we went on was to kind of make it more expansive and look at the entire end-to-end customer experience. So I started in the coach business as the CX director in there. I then, as the then MD, moved to take a role to sit over bus and coach. I then take a more UK role, which kind of sat across both. And then we added digital experience into my role as well. So it became customer and digital experience. And that was kind of, I guess, two parts. One was, as I've just said, about really driving that customer experience, thought process, agenda, bringing the voice of the customer to the center of the organization and really helping us to drive a better end-to-end experience. And the other was helping the journey from what we had was a traditional outsourced software development, I guess for want of a better word, with our website and our apps and stuff, to bring that in-house and bring in our own agile way of working to kind of build our own stuff in-house. And that started from one squad, one team doing something very specific on our booking engine, to now it's a quite a formidable team with product owners, product managers, squads, and all the whole shebang. So it was the journey of bringing that through. So yeah, that's really where it all started.
And what do you think and what did you find were some of the challenges in delivering CX in travel and public transport in particular?
Yeah, interesting. So I think that there is no doubt that everybody I met in that organization cared about customers. So whether you spoke to a driver, whether you spoke to someone in the contact center, there was a customer that we care about them. I think part of the challenge is understanding how their role impacted on the customer. So an engineer sitting in a garage, fitting a new window that was broken or fixing something in an engine, how do you help that person understand that they have an impact on the customer in real terms in the work that they do? And those kind of things were the more difficult things. So I think, public transport probably has got, would have had a reputation that did, very operationally focused, don't really get customer. they do. They just need help understanding that to a greater degree. And so the big part of the job is really helping to bring teams together that were naturally working in a more siloed way around a more collaborative way of speaking about the customer, sharing the journey. I mean, sometimes you've got to understand that the problem is not them, it's you. And when I first got into the organization, there was lots of, oh, other people don't get customer, they're not listening to what we say. But part of the problem was we weren't helping them by not presenting the data and the information in a way that people got it. So how do we take ownership for how we communicate what is important about customer and why other people should care was the first step of the journey. So developing a better reporting pack, developing better information, bringing in customer quotes and bringing it to life from just a table on a page to a better pack was one of the key journey points. And developing that storytelling capability was really, really strong. So, going out to depots and to stations and to different teams and being an evangelist, for want of a better phrase, was really key to it.
What would you say, looking back, were some of your biggest achievements there? What are you most proud of?
I think, there were lots of things that I did and led. I posted about some of them on my LinkedIn. We launched an onboard entertainment system, like airline style, in the coach business. I implemented Salesforce in the contact center, which was the catalyst to start kind of drive a more 360 view of the customer, with a drive to bring data together. Obviously, the data stuff that I've talked about, sorry, the digital stuff that I've talked about that digital team. There's a whole range of stuff in there, but I think the thing that I'm proud of probably more than anything is getting to the point where I didn't have to be in the room in order for somebody to talk about customer. And that for me was the telltale sign that we were making progress. So and they might not have talked about customer in the way that I would have, or in the same way that I would have, but the very fact that you would have people that were naturally more operations focused go, hang on a second, but what about the customer? That for me was the right, there's something happening here.
Fabulous. You touched on digital experience. How do you do that at a fairly traditionally operationally focused organization?
I think similar to the customer piece, really. I think first of all, it's about not making it as a thing outside of what people do, but bringing people on along the journey with it. Now, in the very beginning, of course, it was focused on the website and the buying of tickets and the app and all those kind of things. But then, I led an innovation lab at National Express where we started to bring on startups and small businesses that were working on sprints on specific problems. Some of them were to do with engineering, some of them to do with back office and those kind of things as well. So really bringing people on that journey, and again in a similar way, telling that story as to why digital should matter for them. It's not just the website, it's not just about tickets, but it's also about how do we use better technology to help empower people to do a better job. There's a lot at the moment going on about AI and how AI will replace people's jobs and stuff. And whilst that might be true to a degree, and there's no doubt that AI will change the shape of the landscape, rather than use the words replace jobs, I think it will release people from jobs that are mundane, that they don't need to be doing, to empower them to do jobs that would add more value in the organization. And I think, the digital transformation was the kind of the step change that's happening now, and that will be empowered by AI and machine learning to a great degree. But it is about helping to release people from things they have to do that keep them locked into something and allow them to take a step back and add more value.
Amazing. I'm thinking more personally. I've seen you write and I've heard you talk quite a bit about human behavior and psychology, etc. That's not a subject we've covered before. Tell us what we need to know about that.
So I have a view that actually customer experience, the label that we use for it, when you peel it all back, actually what we're doing is managing human emotions. That's what we're doing. And if you want to peel it back and simplify it even to an even more simple level, there are two key emotions that we're trying to manage here: stress and happiness. And across the customer journey, there are points in the journey that are opportunities to either increase stress or increase happiness. and how well we manage that stress or happiness in those key moments. And, you know, people will refer to them as moments of truth or key journey points, is really the magic of customer experience. It's helping to understand what that is, and helping to understand that it is emotion that drives behavior. It's emotion that drives behavior. How you feel at any one point in time has a greater influence on how you will behave going forward than anything else. We like to believe that we're logical thinkers and that we'll make decisions based on sound logic and sound judgment. And we might do some of those things in the process of making the decision. But we all know when it comes to making that decision, there is a gut feel, there's an instinct, there's something that we get that's more emotive that helps us to make that, whether that's a recommendation from friends and family, whether that's a previous experience with a similar company, but there'll be something in there that's more emotive that will drive you to make that decision. And it's understanding that, and understanding that actually the job of CX is to deliberately design the experience in a way that enables us to have a greater chance of driving that positive emotion in those moments of truth than allowing that stress to overtake. You know, it's the, if you remember the, you know, simple anchoring or the Pavlovian, the, you know, Pavlovian dogs, you know, when you rang the bell and they would salivate, in the same way as every time you have a bad experience with something, it creates a, you know, your wiring in your brain locks in to create a neural association with that. So when you then see that brand, you have a positive or negative emotive connection. Sometimes you might not have even experienced that brand, but you might have heard something about them, or you might have experienced a similar brand that will do a similar thing. So that's why I talk so much about human behavior. I think, you know, we can talk about digital transformation, we can talk about customer experience and all that, but essentially it is about how well do we understand our customers, how well do we understand their behavior patterns, and how do we design our experiences to give us a better chance of driving that positive association.
And where or how does it go wrong? What can we learn from organizations that are not looking at it that way?
Great question. I think there's several things in here. I think I think if we go back to the beginning of the conversation where we talked about, you know, driving change at National Express, when people think customer or customer experience is somebody else's job, that it's a team, it's a department, and it's a set of people, or they'll take care of that. But aligning ourselves around a collective, and I really hate the term customer centricity. I think it's awful. I think I get the intention of it, but really it's about aligning yourselves around caring about the customer experience, knowing that that customer experience will drive loyalty, advocacy, and trust, the three key behaviors that you're always trying to drive. So aligning yourselves around that. I think, so there's that part about where does customer sit and that collective ownership that everyone has a role to play in there. I think then the next layer is that we get magpie syndrome around technology is the answer. New and shiny is the answer. And whilst the technology absolutely will help organizations, it's always in the application of that technology. And to take it to one stage further, it's then how you change the culture around that. So an example being, if all you do is provide better technology to people and don't do the stuff around the culture and how they behave, they will use the new technology in the same way as what they did. So I'll give you a real example. In one of the businesses that I worked in, where we digitized the back office and we gave people access to Google Sheets. So we said, you don't need to put stuff on paper now, you put it into Google Sheets. It's a shared sheet, so you don't need to download it as an Excel and just send it anywhere. It's real time and people can do it. I still found people taking a piece of paper, capturing data off that spreadsheet, and then sending it in the internal mail to another team. So they did not change their behavior. We just gave them a more expensive platform to use. So you have to do the cultural change with it. You have to switch off the stuff they used to do. So I think that's the other bit that organizations get wrong. And I think probably the fourth thing is always working on the basis that everything has an expiry date. You know, nothing is permanent. So you need to work to a position that just because this is how you do it right now, that is not the way you're always going to do it. So everything has its expiry date.
And CX is a journey as much as the customer is a journey. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, without going off at a tangent, I think we talk about people experience and employee engagement and customer experience. They're the same thing inverted a different way, you know, in the same way as we pay attention to how we attract a customer, how a customer buys, how a customer stays loyal to us, and how a customer will recommend us to friends and family, paying that same attention to how an employee joins us, how we onboard them, every touch point they have with somebody in the organization, how does that make them feel? How does that you know, either put credit in the bank or take a withdrawal out? Having that same approach, you know, it's reflected. You know, there's lots of studies being done right now, lots of research being done about the fact that your employee engagement reflects externally in your customer experience and vice versa.
Definitely. You've done a lot of public speaking, and I've seen you speak a few times, and that's something you do a lot of, and you seem to enjoy it. A lot of people, me included, get daunted by that and find it very, very uncomfortable. What can we all learn from you?
The very first thing I would tell you, it's not about you, it's about them. You're there to serve. You've got to get yourself out of you and worrying about how you will look, how you'll be criticized, what people say about you. Focus that you are there to give value to that audience. That is what you're there to do. The second thing I would say to you is remember, it's a conversation. It's telling stories. You know your stuff. So it's about creating whatever you're talking about in a set of stories. And again, focusing on making about them. You know, lots of people start with a long introduction about, this is me, this is what I do, this is where I've been. You take up 10 to 15 minutes of the presentation, and then you get onto the meat of it. Don't do that. Short introduction. Go straight into adding value to your audience. And practice like anything else. You know, I didn't suddenly get up one day and go, right, I'm going to be great at public speaking. It took an investment. I learned some skills. I got coached. I had mentors. I went and learned the art of public speaking. I have a natural passion for it, as you can tell. And if there's one thing I could do for the rest of my life, it would be public speaking. There's no shadow of a doubt. That is what I love to do. I really enjoy doing that. But I enjoy it not for being on the platform speaking. I enjoy it because it's about sharing knowledge, ideas, and information with people to help them in whatever it is that they're doing and trying to achieve in their organizations. And that's where I think the focus should be.
Incredible stuff. Thinking back, how did you get started in customer service and call centers all those years back? And how did you journey? What's your journey been through?
So customer service, I got started with when I was tiny, probably about 8, 9 years old. My dad was an immigrant from Kenya, had a grocery business in Birmingham. We were one of the first Indian greengrocers in Birmingham to import pickles and spices directly from India and sell them to the community that was there. And I worked in the shop with my dad. I would watch him on the till. My grandfather, when I was a little bit younger, I remember a few memories of him, but I was just involved in the family business. And then, you know, I saw how customers would come back, how they would converse with my uncle and my dad and the relationships they build. I didn't know at the time it was customer experience. It was just all kind of unconscious learning going in here. And then I didn't do great at school. And then one of my aunts worked in a bank, and she was speaking to my mum. My mum went, well, if you're not going to go off and study, you're not sitting at home doing anything. Go and work with your aunt for a little while. So she gave me an application form. I filled it in. I started working in the contact center at HFC Bank when I was about 18/19. I worked on the GM card, the Goldfish card, marbles. And then I moved into credit underwriting, and then I moved into fraud detection. And then I just had this curiosity of understanding how stuff worked and how teams work together. So I just went, and I was a bit of a nosy sod that I'd just go and ask questions of other teams. Started there, 4 years there. Then I went to work at Egg, which is probably where I had my most transformative experience of customer experience and understanding customer. And I've been involved in and around contact centers, customer service ever since. McDonald's was a short stint in my career as well. So I've always been in that space. That's really been the journey, and just worked through the ranks, working on interesting projects. But Egg was a phenomenal, phenomenal part of my experience.
You would have worked with quite a lot of people, both good and bad, at senior levels. So who have been what have been the biggest influences on your career and life?
Wow. Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I mean, there've been some awesome people. I think, yeah, I mean, I'll just touch on Egg because it was such a big part of my experience. Mike Harris, who was the CEO then, Paul Grattan, and the way he led that organization, Chris Hancock, who was my direct manager for a while when I was at Egg. They're just all people that helped, whether they know it or not, shape my career, my thinking. I think there's been some other brilliant people along the way that I've worked with, that I've interacted with, that have really molded me. I think here, I had a really great working relationship with Tom Stables, who was the CEO at National Express. He and I had a good working relationship, so there was some good support and work there. I think they are probably, in terms of people that I've worked with directly and managed, some of the names. But God, Keith, there's just a long list of people. There's far. It's like an Oscar speech. You always forget to mention someone, and I don't want to start going through names and then forget to mention people. But they've clearly been some cracking people. But more than anything, I think, it's going to sound a bit cliche, the thing that's had the biggest impact on me is just the constant support from my family. Like, I was lucky that my mom and dad, were really hardworking. I never felt under pressure that I had to, go down a certain path or whatever. And when I chose this path, they were just really, really supportive, and they've always encouraged me to be curious, to go and learn, to go and grow. And that's probably been the central point of my success, I guess.
Amazing, absolutely fabulous insight. So, as you know, we always like to ask our guests to reflect, help those coming up through the industry today. So, you can go back to being 25 again. What advice would you give to younger self?
I would say learn to get comfortable in your own skin, because too often we try to fit in instead of trying to stand out. And I would say that be brave. Don't, not kamikaze, but be brave. Be willing to put yourself out there and take those risks. Be willing to be wrong. You can't go through your career trying to be right all the time and play it safe. It's through your failures that you learn. It's through the times that you get it wrong that you learn. In my career, it's the times I stuck my hand up and said, yes, I'll do that, and expose myself to stuff that I've never underwritten a mortgage in my life. And yet I put my hand up to say I'd do it. And if I hadn't have done that and played it safe, I don't think where I'd be right now. So that, I think, don't play it safe. Take risks, be who you are, bring your value to the table. And I think the last thing I'd say about that, Keith, is the one great piece of advice I got is that in an organization, your value is in direct correlation to the size of problems that you solve. The greater you are at helping people solve problems, the greater value you have in any organization, team, or unit.
I think that sums it up absolutely perfectly, and that thing about being brave and being curious and asking questions and being bold is a surprisingly common theme through nearly all our guests.
Yeah.
But it's really lovely to hear that. How do you unwind and escape from it all? What do you do? What do you go up to outside of work?
I love cricket. It's my number one
Amazing.
sport. If I could, when I finish speaking or finish my career, I want to go around the world and watch cricket. I could watch a 5-day test match quite easily without any problem. I was at the Ashes on Saturday, at the Oval, which was a phenomenal day's cricket. So I love to watch. I used to play a lot more, but not so much now. I like to read. I love movies. I'm a bit of a foodie. But again, I mean, look, I have a huge extended family. Our social circle is massive. When I got married 23 years ago, my wife did warn me, you realize that we have a party pretty much every other weekend. There's always something going on. So a lot of my life is spent socializing, spending time with my family. I've got wonderful nieces and nephews. I've got two younger brothers and a sister who I love dearly, and I've got a wonderful extended family with my in-laws, and that is the mainstay of keeping me who I am.
Brilliant. Vinay, it's been amazing having you with us today. Hope our listeners have found this as fascinating as I have. We thank you for joining us at the Customer Experience Foundation, and we hope you can join us next time on CX Diaries.
Thank you very much. Thanks for